Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
Again, and then we are looking to go into the Congo and minister in the Congo, and then into southern Sudan, and then back into Uganda, and then Kenya, and then back home. But that's to come here a little bit later. But anyway, I would like to share some thoughts on us with us tonight about the gifts that God has provided for us. And I want to start in the book of John, in chapter 1, verse 16. Book of John, chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." And the Amplified Bible really expands this verse and talks about of his fullness we have received favor upon favor, gift upon gift. It's been heaped upon us. The grace of God has been poured out upon us, and we've been made partakers of much of the grace of God through the gifts of God that he has given. And I appreciate, for example, the gift of salvation. I thank God for the gift of righteousness. I thank God for the peace of God. I thank God for many of the things that he has poured out upon me personally, and I'm sure you can say for yourself, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Another gift. And I just want to share just a couple of thoughts here with you in getting started, and go to the book of James, if you would. And I want to just talk a little bit here about some of the natural gifts that God gives, too. They're spiritual. Most of the time we capitalize on the spiritual gifts that God gives, but there are many things that I have found that God pours out upon his people. And just share a couple of thoughts with you here. In James chapter 1, it says in verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." In verse 17, he says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift." Now, we know that there are the gifts of the Spirit in Corinthians. We know that there are the gifts in Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at some gifts in Ephesians chapter 4. But before we do that, just as kind of an introduction here, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And in the book of Genesis, we'll read a few scriptures here. In the book of Genesis, we'll look at a couple more scriptures here. In Genesis chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4, verse 20, says here, "And Adah bare Jabal, he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle." Okay, in verse 21, "And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ." And verse 22, "And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naaman." And so you'll, just as we look here in the book of Genesis, in the book of beginnings, we find individuals that were born, and in those individuals, God had distributed himself. I like to say it that way. He had distributed his grace. He had distributed his ability in different individuals. Here's a family that were able to take care of cattle. Now, I can appreciate eating cattle. I have done a certain amount of baling hay and hauling hay and taking care of cattle, but it's not my life's dream. Let me say that to you. And but here, God has given this particular ability in dealing and working with cattle. And then we have Jubal. Now here is another man who was able to handle the harp and organ. And I know that you know people. I know of people that God has called, and they just sit down at any instrument and they play it. That is a gift. That is a grace that God gives an individual. That is something that is from God. I maintain that throughout humanity, God has distributed himself in many, many different capacities that we really haven't considered to be God. I'll give you an example. I worked with a man in the machine shop. This man's name was Cliff. And Cliff, he got all of the very detailed and intricate jobs that were brought in. And I was talking to him one day, he was building, it was a very small part. And I said, how much do you make on this part? He says, well, I make $10,000 a part. And I says, well, how many of these do you have to make? Well, I only have to make 12 of those this month. And I says, well, 12, that equals $120,000. He says, yeah, that's right. And I thought to myself, I work 50 hours a week, and I don't even begin to scratch that as to what I was doing. And so I began to question him about that. And he said, this is what happened to me as a young man. He says, first of all, he says, I was a preacher's son. He was backslidden at this point. But he says, when the Spirit of God came into my life, God gave me the ability to work with metals. And he said, I don't care what machine or what you need built. He says, I can do it. I have never been to school. He says, I just am able to figure out how to take these pieces, and he knows how to make them. And so God gave him an ability to work with metals. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. And so I'm starting here looking at natural abilities that we think, well, they're beyond natural abilities. But they are natural abilities in the fact that we may not come into the church service and participate in them or use them, but they're used throughout life in creating and doing tremendous things. Those are God-given grants. I call them of abilities of the grace of God. And I would like to say in the body of Christ that God has gifted us much more than what we give God credit for. Amen. And I also would like to say that in the body of Christ, we need to be partakers of the grace that God has given into individuals' lives. And because he's heaped grace and he's heaped gifts upon the body of Christ, and I'm in the body of Christ, and if I know you, then you are an individual that is graced of God, you have abilities, and I want to receive of those abilities. In receiving of the abilities that God has given you, I'm receiving not only from your life, but I'm receiving from the hand of God. I'm receiving from something from God that flows through you that's going to enhance my life. You know, and those can be spiritual gifts. Those can be natural gifts. I thank God for people who have the ability to work with wood. Because if we didn't have people with work with wood, I wouldn't have a house to live in. Yeah, you know, I thank God that there are people who are can work on these cars now that you've got to plug them into a computer to figure out what's going wrong or what's going right with them. And all of the ingenious thought processes of putting the processes together to cause that automobile to work. I used to like to work on cars because they were simple. And I could take a $20 bill and go down into to the store and buy plugs and points and tune the car up, and it would run fine for the next year. Can't do that anymore. It goes way beyond my capability. But I thank God that I know people that have those kinds of capabilities. And I just look at those kinds of things as God-given abilities. God pours in the lives of people. Now let's look at, turn in your Bibles if you would, Ephesians chapter 4. I want to spend a little time here. What Pastor was talking about, people not being deceived or people being deceived and becoming entangled in the things of the kingdom of darkness. Well, God has given us gifts in the body of Christ that basically can help us avoid those kinds of trappings that the devil brings along. And if you look in Ephesians chapter 4, it says here in verse 7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." God, for example, has graced myself and my wife. Part of the grace that God has given us is to cross culture and go into many different kinds of nations with many peoples with different kinds of cultures, and to be able to go into those places and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's part of the grace of God. That's part of the gift of God that's there, okay? But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. God has graced you, and what he's graced you with and what he's gifted you with determines your purpose. I'm going to say that again. Your grace and your gift is directly tied to the purpose that God has called you to do. Amen. I'm listening to pastors say, you know, we feel it's time to go get a piece of property and to build a building. He's not looking at outward circumstances. He's not taking into consideration the lack. He's taking into consideration being obedient to, first of all, the mind of God, amen, and trusting and believing God that he's going to do the part that God needs to do that he can't do. Well, the reason he can do that is because of the grace of God that's within him. And we thank God for that. We rejoice in that. And I thank God that will take a stand and reach out beyond himself and believe God, amen, because there's the grace of God to do that. Amen, the grace of God to do that. Well, we appreciate that. And so, Pastor Harold, we just want to say we appreciate what you said tonight. We appreciate your go get them attitude to go do that and try that. I mean, the Lord bless you in that whole effort. Amen. And if anyone is listening out there tonight and you feel to be a part of that, be a part of it. Be a part of it. But he says here, but unto every one of us then grace is given. And verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Okay? He gave gifts unto men. In verse 8, you'll find that in Psalms chapter 68, you'll find that when David was moving the Ark of the Covenant, God gave him that simple scripture and puts it into that psalm and is directly tied into God, amen, ordering the people and David moving the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant, there are many things that it represents, but one of them I would like to say is this: the Ark of the Covenant today for us is the Lord Jesus Christ. He fulfills all of those things that the Ark of the Covenant represents, okay? And so when Jesus ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and then he gave gifts unto men, gave gifts unto men. Now this word men, this particular word, is only used one time in the Scripture. It's not talking about men as male, it's talking about men as mankind. In other words, the gifts that Christ is distributing here is not just to men only, but these gifts, this grace that God is pouring out, is for men and women. It is for us as the human race. I'm going to say it that way. It's for us as the human race to partake of. Too many times in the church, we try to limit God's grace. I will say it that way. God's grace and God's gift. Well, you are female, you can only do thus and such. You are male, you can only do thus and such. But in the kingdom of God, there's neither male nor female. And the grace of God can be poured out on anyone. And I so appreciate God for that. And then he says here in verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And then he begins to list out then the gifts that he gave to men. Okay? The gifts. These are actually presents. That's what this word gifts means. Presents to the church. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. He gives basically what we call the fivefold ministry, elders in the church, and he gives these particular gifts for a particular reason, for a particular purpose. They're graced of God to do things for the body of Christ. And I want to make some statements here. We relate to so much, especially in America, the church, and we relate to the ministry of maybe the pastor, and we relate sometimes to evangelists, and many times to the teacher. Many teach, well, the day of the apostle, the day of the prophet is over, But I would like to say to us that these are ascension gifts that Christ has given to the New Testament church. And we need present-day apostles. We need present-day prophets. And then we go into the book of Acts, we can find these ministries functioning, amen, in the early church. And I would like to say in 2013, they're still functioning, and we want them to continue functioning because there's the grace of God, the gifts of God will pour forth through them and do things for us, amen, in the church of Jesus Christ. All right, verse 12 says here, for the perfecting of the saints. The Amplified says in verse 12, his intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people. And then it says this, that they should do the work of ministering towards building up Christ's body, the church. So when we look at this verse, his intention for the reason of the grace and the purpose of God for these ministries, it was for the perfecting, it was for the full equipping of the saints. And I would like to say to all of us tonight and anyone who's listening, it is important, amen, that we have these ministry gifts involved in our life because they bring the grace of God. They bring things to us. They fill out. They round out. They bring to us and cause us to be a people that know God and know how to function what God gives us to function in. And so I want to say to us, we need the graces, we need the gifts of God, and we need to partake of them, and we need to receive them. Hallelujah. We need to receive them, all right? So he says, for the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints. And then I like this, what he says about this, that they should do the work of ministering. They should do the work of ministering. So many times we think, well, the man who stands and is paid to preach the word of God to us should work 24/7 and should do everything, when in reality that's not what God has purposed or called them to do, but they are to be the ones that equip the people of God so that the people of God can reach out and minister and do what God wants them to do. Amen. Besides, the work of God is much bigger than just one person doing the job. The work of God is as large as the church is around the planet. He includes us all. We're just a portion, a segment of the body of Christ here tonight. There's in every nation, there is a segment. There's a portion of the body of Christ, and it's all been gifted of God, and it's all been receiving of the grace of God, and in that, there's a purpose for that so that we can do the work of ministry. Hallelujah. That's where you find fulfillment. You don't find fulfillment coming and sitting in a pew in the church, giving your money, listening to the preaching of the word. Well, let's close in prayer and everybody go home. I mean, come on. We gather together to hear the voice of God. We gather together to partake and worship of the Lord. And we gather together, amen, to hear the scriptures taught, and in the hearing of it, when the word of God is preached, there is a grace that comes forth from the preaching of the word, and that grace that comes forth under the preaching of the word comes from the mouth of those who are speaking under the unction of the Spirit. And when the grace comes forth, amen, we can then walk in that grace, and we can begin to appropriate it, and we can begin to become enlarged. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to remain stagnant. I don't want to remain the same. I want to grow in God. I want to experience God. I want to experience Him in dimensions that I don't know anything about. Amen. I want to be, amen, encouraged in God. I want to come into a place where the Word of God comes forth in power and demonstration of the power of God. Hallelujah. When we were in London, we were in a church. Every service, there's a miracle. There's something powerful that's taking place. Even in the services where we were at in Uganda, the power of God came in dimensions. And amen, the prophetic word began to come forth. The preaching of the word began to come forth. Amen, and God began to move upon us. And I want to say to us tonight, God wants to move upon us. And God wants to enlarge us. And God wants to pour out upon us His grace
and he wants to increase us in his grace. For even in this house and in the days that come ahead, the Spirit of the Lord would say, I will increase you and I will cause, amen, grace to be added to you. Gifts will be added to you. For you have been crying to the Lord saying, Lord, amen, send these. Lord, let them come from the north. Let them come from the south. Let them come from the east. And I would say to you, I have put vision within your spirit. And I have put vision within your minds and hearts. And you've been faithful, amen, to assemble and to gather and to seek my face. And my ear has not been closed unto your cry. But the Lord would say to you, I will answer. For my arm is not short, and I am not a God of slack, amen, and not fulfilling his promise and his desires, amen, that I have put within your heart. For the scripture says, I open my hand and open my hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. For I have called you and I have graced you not to set you aside or set you upon, amen, a shelf, but I have set you in a place and I will cause it to be fruitful, says the Lord. Hallelujah. The grace of God. So we find then, he gives these gifts. He gives some apostles, he gives some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. It says for the perfecting of the saints. It's for the equipping of the saints so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. And so I want to say to us, even tonight as we're hearing the word, there is coming an equipping of the Spirit of God even to us. A grace is being poured forth, and part of the grace that's being poured forth is this, that it would encourage you, amen, that you are not here by accident. You're not an accident going to happen, hallelujah, but you're a people of purpose, you are a people of destiny, because God is a God of destiny, and God is a God of purpose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you say amen? I'll settle down here in a little bit. All right. All right. All right. Verse 13. That it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God. All right, let's read it again. That it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith. Oneness in the faith. I mean, I think we can all say there are many, many fragments, many, many things that are out here going on in the name of Christianity, in the church. There are many different streams of truth that are emphasized. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Some are, they call them the faith movement, okay? There's others, I've been involved in Latter Rain. There's other different kinds of moves. Well, as the Spirit of God is faithful, he emphasizes, amen, different parts of the truth. Why? So that we can grow in it, so that we can experience it, amen. I don't want to just take a portion of it. I want to walk in all the truth that God can give me, amen. I want to walk in all the truth that God can give me. I want to be balanced in all the things and not just be focused in one thing. If I am focused in one thing, it's only to learn that truth so that I can walk in it and then I can get on with the next one. All right. All right. That he might develop it until we attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God. I gave you a scripture in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and in the knowledge of God. How do we grow in the knowledge of God? The only way that I know of to grow in the knowledge is the more you understand and know this book that you've got, that you call your Bible, the more you understand the truth, well, that's called growing in knowledge. Growing in knowledge. Well, that means that you can read it. Yes, that's one way of growing in knowledge. You need to hear it preached, because under the anointing, I find that God opens up the scriptures and he opens up things and causes us to walk in things when the church comes together, because that's when the Spirit of God, the voice of God, comes to us in the assembly. Hallelujah. And so there's the responsibility of that. And then I've also found that one of the gifts that God gives out of these, there are teachers. And I find that part of the grace of God, the gift of God in the graced teacher, is that these people are graced of God to break the word of life, Amen. And they get depths and they get nuggets. I call it nuggets of gold. Amen. And truth that I can walk in. And so I appreciate that. Amen. So we find then that we are to walk in the knowledge of the Son of God that we might arrive at really mature manhood. Here's a whole other point, being mature. I say that in the church many times a pastor is a diaper changer. Is a diaper changer. How many of you like to change diapers? When the children are small, we understand they have to have the diapers changed. That's part of growing up. But if they're 5 years old, 10 years old, we're not interested in changing diapers. Something's wrong. Well, I find in the church many times that there's people that's been in the church 15 years and we're still changing diapers. Okay? Why is that? It's because we need to grow up. We need to grow up. Well, what do these ministry gifts do? They help us to grow up. Grow up. Okay? All right. Growing up. Might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality. The completeness of personality. The completeness of personality. You know, the Bible talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. The Bible talks about put off these things, anger. The Bible talks about putting on things, you know, humbleness, meekness. When you speak, let it be your speech be with grace, that it may that it can minister edification to the hearers and be builders. Too many times from the lip comes things that do not build but tear down. Well, God wants us to grow up even in our being mature. And in our personality of being like Christ and responding like Christ responds. Everybody said? It's just there. See, it's just there. Why don't we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. 4:21. Verse 20 says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." The NIV talks about being renewed in the attitude of your mind. The attitude of your mind. What do? You put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Here we're talking, this is really dealing with having a completeness of personality. And what I liken that is to, it is the character that God wants us to demonstrate. Where do we get that? Well, it's part of the responsibility of these gifts that God has given the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher in their preaching the Word of God, in their instructing out of the Word of God, in their presentation of the Word of God. It should affect how we behave. And everybody said, see, if you don't say amen in the right spot, we get you to, all right? All right, so there it is, completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and the completeness found in him. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the fullness of Christ. I think there are 22 different meanings to the word fullness, okay? The Greek word is pleroo. And I'm not going to try and give you all 22 meanings of that word fullness. I'll just give you a couple of thoughts. Okay, one of the meanings of this is it means to level up a hollow. When I think about that, when John the Baptist came,
part of his message, he would, every valley shall be brought up, every hill will be brought down, and there would be, it would make it actually a more even, a walking space for life. And part of the reason these ministries and the gifts that God has given them is that it isn't so that it's so our life isn't like this. We go to a mountaintop experience, we go to a valley experience. The valley experience is called depression. The mountain experience is called you're just out of your mind. Okay? And God wants us, you can go, you know, life could be like this, but God wants our attitude towards him to be like this, smoothed out. And for example, in everything do what? Give thanks. You know, when you're thankful, it takes the fight out of your circumstances. When you're thankful in it, it takes the fight out of you. When you're not thankful, you're like this. You're fighting it all the time. Well, that's what he wants to do. That's just part of it, bringing us to the fullness of Christ. When I think of the fullness of Christ, just another example, going into the gifts in 1 Corinthians, he gives us the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And so I have a question for us. How many of us are practicing those gifts? How many of us are practicing those gifts? There's the prophetic word. There's the word of knowledge. There's the word of wisdom. There's the discerning of spirits. There's the working of miracles. And it goes on, and it gives 9 of them. Well, I find that many times we don't even emphasize those in the church. We don't emphasize that God wants to flow through the people of God, and he wants to demonstrate, he wants to manifest himself through people's lives in these kinds of dimensions. And I find also that sometimes when people get to going in these things, then they've got to run off to themselves and start a whole other ministry and be all to themselves and keep it all to themselves. Well, that's not what it's about. God equips us, he graces us, he pours in his Spirit that he can manifest himself through us. Well, part of the reason of these ministries in chapter 4, verse 11, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, amen, is to teach us and to instruct us in the ways of the Spirit so that we can demonstrate the Spirit of God and cooperate with him and minister under the unction of the Spirit of God and see God do those kinds of things through us. Amen? All right. So here, let's just take a couple of thoughts here. I'm going to give you just a couple of things here about each one of these ministries. And he gave some apostles. The Apostle Paul says, though I have 10,000 instructors, I have not many fathers. And what was Paul? He was an apostolic ministry. He brings the fathering attitude and the fathering grace to the house. And as the church, we need fathers in the house. Also, you'll find that the book of Ephesians tells us that apostles and prophets are the foundation. They're the foundational ministries. I call these ministries dirt ministries. What do I mean by that? What's the most important part of any natural building? It's the foundation. Because if the foundation is not laid right, the whole structure will not stand very long. And so the foundation must be right. And so one of the things that the apostolic ministry does brings to us the whole thought of foundational, laying foundations for the church. You know, we think that when we get saved, we have everything we need. Well, that's only the beginning. That's our true foundation. We understand that. For there's no other foundation that can be laid but that which is Christ Jesus. He is the foundation. But I find, let's take an example. You find people who come and get saved, and we think, wow, and they're saved, and everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, in their marriage, they're having tremendous problems. They don't have answers for it. Well, the truth of the matter is, their marriage is not on the foundation. It isn't on the foundation until we get in the Word and we're taught what the Bible says about marriage and how we're supposed to behave and how we're supposed to live, and it gives us principles to live. And then what happens? We then have a foundation under our marriage that our marriage, we can live our marriage off of and live into it. Well, that comes through foundational instruction. And so we need the gifts and the grace of the foundational ministries teaching us those kinds of things. It's got to be there, okay? And those are just 2 simple thoughts concerning apostolic ministry.
A couple other things that apostolic ministry does is another thing it is, and we have relegated, we've taken away the word apostle out of the church, and I don't even know what we've done with it. And they're sent by God to go places and to do things. They do missions work and all those kinds of things. Acts chapter 13, verse 1, there were certain teachers and prophets in Antioch, and as they're fasting and praying, the Bible said, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I've called them to do." And the next verse says, "And so they, being sent forth by the Spirit of God, amen, went and accomplished things." We call that missions work, all right, doing apostolic work. Now let's go to the prophets. One of the things that prophets do is they hear from God, and they are the mouthpiece of God. What do they bring to us? Prophets should come in and not only prophesy, not only function in the realm of the Spirit, but they must bring the church to the point where they can hear from God for themselves and declare, amen, what God is saying. What is prophecy? Prophecy is nothing more than hearing God's voice and declaring what you hear. That's all it is. You just make it very, very simple. You know, that comes in vision form. It can come in just God speaking a word. There's many, many different avenues that can come in. But we need the prophetic people to come in. We need them to be part of the church. We need them to be accepted in the church. And we need their gift released in the church. And we need them teaching how to function, amen, in the prophetic realm. In the prophetic realm. Let me just say some more thoughts. This whole book is prophetic. This whole book is prophetic. You read the last two verses in Revelation, and it talks about this whole prophecy. God is a spirit, and we have to learn to live in the spirit realm and function in the spirit realm. And part of what the prophetic ministries do is teach us and help us and equip us to move in those kinds of dimensions. Okay? All right. That's the second one. Then we got some evangelists. Well, many days gone by, evangelists used to come in, hold a week of meetings or 2 weeks of meetings, stir the church up, we get some miracles, then they go away, and then the church, nothing else is happening because it all went away with the evangelist. Well, they're graced of God, amen, to move in the miraculous and to be soul winners and to do those kinds of things, but it doesn't stop there. We need to, as the body of Christ, learn how to be soul winners. We need to learn how to function and minister the grace of God when people need to be ministered to in different kinds of realms. One of the things that I did when I was in London, we went out on the streets and we did what we call treasure hunting. Treasure hunting is before you go out, you take a piece of paper and you write down clues. Today I'm going to see somebody has a blue purse. Well, you have four people that do that. They sit down and they make their own list, and then you pray, and then you come together and you look at your list and you say, and what was amazing is four out of the five people had blue purse. There were about 10 things that all four of us had together. So when we went out on the street, and as people would walk by us, we would just look at them and say, there's that blue purse. We would stop that person, and we would begin to talk to them about the things of God. Some needed healing. Some needed other things. But that was the key thing that we felt that's who God wanted us to talk to. That's part of evangelism, learning to function and under the grace of ministering to people. Jesus, when he called his disciples, he says, "Follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men." Well, part of the grace that comes through the evangelist is to help us to learn to function as fishers of men. For when they come in, they release the grace of God. They release things to us. They bring us into a realm of faith and believing God. Amen. Instead of standing back in fear and standing back, what shall I say? Amen. We can be taught to learn to function in these things. Why? Because these ministries can be released in the house. You can be released in the house. Then you've got the pastors. Well, when I think of the pastors, that's the one we're most familiar with. But as I hold up my hand, I have a ring on here that my little woman put on my hand 42 years ago. And that finger that she put that on has a vein straight to the heart. Okay? Straight to the heart. Shepherds, they're the heart people for the flock, okay? They're the ones that do a lot of the changing the diapers. They're the ones that anoint the sheep. They're the ones that take care of the flock. And they're the ones that shear the sheep. And they're the ones that do all kinds of things for the sheep. Well, you got to have pastors too. Thank God for pastors. And everybody said, yeah, thank God for pastors. If you didn't have any pastors, you wouldn't have a I'm going to say this to you. You wouldn't have a hedge around your life, because when the sheep would need to be put down for the night, many times in the Arab countries, they take these what we would call tumbleweeds, and these tumbleweeds have very long, sharp thorns on them. I've seen them. They gather them up, and they make an enclosure. They bring all the sheep in them and put them inside. And these thorn bushes, they stack them together, and these thorns are so sharp and they're so close together that in the morning, this literally happens, there will be mice that were killed because they couldn't get through to get inside the closure. Here's the catch. Who sleeps in the doorway? The shepherd sleeps in the doorway. He's guarding. He leaves the entrance open, but he sleeps in it. Why is that? Then he becomes the completion of this enclosure for the sheep, you see. So the sheep are inside, they're safe because he's there. And so when we find that people say, well, I don't want to go to church, I don't want to be a part of that, and I'm going to say this, everybody needs a shepherd. Why do I say that? Because we are sheep of his pasture. I'm a sheep. I'm a pastor, but I'm still a sheep. We all are, okay? So we need these kinds of ministries there. Then we talked a little bit about the teachers, instructors. The Bible calls us, gives us a term and says that we are disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. We're all disciples. We're all learning. We need instruction from the Word of God. And the thing about teachers are probably the broadest ministry that's given, because teaching takes place with children. Teaching takes place with young people. Teaching takes place across all spectrum of all ages, and teaching is the thing that is constantly teaching and instructing for those different ages, bringing the truth, amen, on such a level that they can understand it. I will never forget when my Sunday school teacher or superintendent came to me once and said, I want you to come down and I want you to teach the three-year-olds. I says, okay, I'll give it a shot. Well, they are part of the church, you know. So I went into the class and I did my best to get down to the level and minister to these three-year-olds. And I got to say, I don't think I did a very good job. I didn't do a good job because I am used to teaching adults, and I'm used to using those kinds of illustrations and doing those kinds of things. Now, if she would have asked me to play with the kids, we'd have been fine. But that's not what she was asking me to do. She was asking me to instruct them, okay? So what am I saying? I'm saying this. There are those graced of God to do that kind of instruction. Thank God for it. There are those that are graced of God to reach and touch young people's lives. There are those who are young marrieds, and on and on and on. And so it's a grace of God that we need in the church. It's a grace of God that we want to partake of it. And these ministries will bring us to the fullness of Christ. They'll bring us to a place where we are equipped to do ministry. They bring us to a place where we have confidence in God, confidence in the gifts that God has given us so that we can function. Can you say amen? All right.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it will impact you, that you will continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be. Thank you.